Good morning and welcome to the program. It's great to have you along with us this morning. I want to talk a little bit this morning about simplicity in Jesus. The word simplicity means that which is clear, plain, and easy to be understood or done. It's not complex, it's not complicated, but it seems natural. Sometimes when people think of simple, they think of ignorance or backwardness or something to that effect. However, we're going to use simplicity in the sense that Christianity is plain and not complex. First of all, we see that Christ lived a simple, humble life. His simplicity began at his lowly, humble birth. And we read in Luke chapter 2 at verse 6, "So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." We see a simple birth. He was the son of a simple carpenter. And when people found out who he was, they were amazed. We read in Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 53, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?'" He was the son of a simple carpenter, a normal person. And he humbled himself to be baptized, even though he was without sin. In Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we read, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And he associated with everybody. He didn't have to bother choosing between the good and the bad, or the ugly and the pretty, because Jesus associated with everybody. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Then all of the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Should we not treat people the very same way that Jesus did? How come sometimes in our lives we find ourselves choosing between the people we like better? Why can't we seem to treat everybody the same? Jesus taught simple lessons as well. We can read the parables. We can read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and we can see how Jesus simply taught the truth. He died a humble and lowly death. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 29. "When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Then they spat on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified." You see, he didn't resist. He didn't run away. He made no excuses. He simply died. Matthew 27:50 says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit." Simple as that. Jesus died for us. And Jesus brought us a simple gospel. It was based on his simple death, burial, and resurrection. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that gospel is simply this. We read it in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's the gospel. Hearing the word of God, believing it to be true, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. It tells us right there in Mark 16:16. And the word disbelieve there, or where it says who does not believe, that simply means to resist Jesus or to reject him. And anyone who does that is not going to follow the gospel. They're not going to follow the plan of salvation. Christ established a simple church. He built it. We read in Matthew 16:18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And the church is comprised of those who are saved by a simple gospel. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And that church consists of those who are rescued. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And Christ is the head of that church, and He will return for it. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, the church is not complicated. It's not bogged down by worldly organization. It's not bogged down by man-made things, but it all comes from the Scriptures, and we must do our best to keep things simple. The church also has a simple worship. John 4:24 reads, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That simple worship consists of singing, praying, Bible study, giving back what God has given us through our monetary means, and partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we do these upon the first day of the week when we meet together, as well as every day, with the exception of the communion and giving. We see that the disciples met every day, or they studied every day. Acts 5:42 says, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And Acts 17:11, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. You see, there's nothing difficult about the church. There's nothing difficult about the gospel. There's nothing difficult about worship. And Christ has given us simple directions to follow from a simple book. And these directions set us free. James 1:25 reads, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If we look into the Scriptures and listen to what they have to say, we will be set free. And the Bible gives us everything that we need. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's nothing that we have to guess at. God has given us all that we need so we can be corrected when needed, instructed in righteousness, reproved. The Scriptures are complete, and they give us something to believe in. Many times in life, we don't know which way to turn. We don't know where to go. We don't know who's our friends and who's not. But understand, if we follow the Bible, we'll have these answers. John 20, beginning with verse 30. John 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It's a simple message, folks. There's nothing hard about it. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3 reads, As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's simple. We're compared to newborn babies, and we want to desire that milk, just as a baby needs his bottle. We should desire the Bible. Christ gave us a simple life. Simply be humble. Simply be patient. Simply love God. Simply love each other. It's simple grace, hope, and redemption. Turn to Titus chapter 2 at verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is Christianity, and it is so simple. Many people stumble because it's so easy. They look for something that is difficult, something that's mysterious, but the Lord's way is so plain that even the uneducated, the poor, the foolish, and the simple should not have a problem following it. Are you following Jesus? Have you taken up your cross to follow him daily? Have you become a Christian by believing in the Bible, repenting of your old lives, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? You must complete all of those steps. Don't stop with just a prayer. Don't stop with just believing. Don't stop with just confessing Jesus as Lord, but go through all the steps up and through baptism so you can have true salvation. Listen to what the Bible says. Become a Christian. Continue to live righteously. And if we can help you, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. Stop by and see us for one of our services. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship services, and again at 6 p.m. for worship services. And we also meet on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for midweek Bible study. Or if you'd like, you can call me, 304-727-0761, or you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com. If you'd like, you can look us up on the internet, www.washingtonstcofc.org, or on Facebook at Washington Street CFC. Thanks again for joining us for Words of Truth.